You're listening to Ground Out Radio on the Polo Grounds Radio Network. Now, here are your hosts, the Secondary Ground Outs, Ken and Chuck.
Kenneth Simone, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
How are you? How's the eye?
Not bad. I still have some stuff going on, but it's not worse so far. So far, so good. I go to see my eye doctor on Monday. So hopefully it stays stable because he wanted to see me because I told him I was going to be flying out next week. And he said he needed to see me first to make sure I could do that. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Ken, can you explain to the listeners what exactly you're experiencing with your eye right now?
Sure. So, I have what's called a posterior vitreous detachment, which is a detachment from a back layer of my eye. What it is that the other day I was walking and all of a sudden I went to swat this. What I thought was a moth in front of my eye. And my wife looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, well, Jesus, this moth just came right in front of my eye. And then she said, there's no moth there. And then all of a sudden I realized that it was just this wavering thing in the peripheral vision and something was obviously very off. So the next morning, you know, I went to see an eye doctor and he made that diagnosis with, you know, multiple pictures and all of this. And the bottom line is most times this ends up being just benign, meaning that it's not going to turn into anything, but there is a risk of it turning into a retinal detachment. And if you have a retinal detachment, then then it's emergent, you need surgery. So that's where I'm at right now. But I think, you know, hopefully things will be okay.
So like a floater?
I mean, it looks like a major floater.
So I had that a couple of years ago that I had to have the surgery on.
You had the same problem?
Well, I just had a floater that was, it started out kind of minor and just got worse and worse until it was this big black blob.
Yeah.
So they went in and like I said, they replaced the fluid at the back of the eye and.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. It was about 15 minute surgery.
It's not fun getting old, guys.
One of Chuck's favorite subjects.
Yeah. I was going to say, who knew that this was going to be an eye surgery podcast? I mean,
Tell me your story, Chuck.
That's funny because I just went to the ophthalmologist because I have ocular hypertension. So they're saying like it's a precursor to glaucoma. And like you said, man, getting old is just, stuff happening for no good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ken, what I think the ground outs really want to know is this going to affect your draft in any way, or you feel like you can pull this off unscathed?
Oh, I want to pull this off unscathed. And the secret behind that is I don't draft till the third round.
Here's that. So, no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
Cool. Well, it's good to see you guys, and I'm glad we're able to get together to do this kind of impromptu podcast. Of course, we haven't prepped a whole lot on anything, which is kind of different for us. Usually we have a list of things we intend to talk about, whatnot, but there's always stuff to talk about in Ground Out Nation, so I'm sure we're gonna think of things here. The one burning question I have that I thought of on my drive home tonight is, Jeff, what are the sleeping assignments at GoCon? I think that's the burning question for 13 of us at this point. Do you have any idea how that's going to shake out?
I really don't. I think it'll just kind of be a first come, first served. I don't know. I procured the place, but that now I'm going to wash my hands of it. Let it be a free for all.
Do you have any like strategies that you intend to like avoid certain people or gravitate towards others as potential roommates for this, or what are you thinking? Situation?
I think we'll just kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, free for all.
I procured the place, and after that, I'm just kind of washing my hands of it, and we'll see what happens. A couple of people aren't coming till Thursday, or yeah, till Thursday morning. Paul's not coming till Thursday morning, so he'll get the leftovers.
Right, there you go. I think everybody can sign off on that. Give Hendo last, but he's get the first pick of the draft. He gets last pick of bedroom, last bed choice. I think we could all get on board with that.
Good
Yes.
call, Chuck. Good
Yeah.
job.
But yeah, so that's coming up pretty quick here. I'm trying to think. It's Wednesday. We fly out a week from tonight, right? Or Jeff, I think me and you and a handful of guys get there Wednesday. Is that right? Well, yeah, like you
Wednesday,
said,
yeah.
everybody gets there Wednesday, right?
Almost everybody's Wednesday. Kind of looking at the we've got like 3 days on the 10-day forecast, and it's in the 80s Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So better than a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, during the epic rain out of the A's game.
Yes.
Yeah. Ken,
Yep.
how are things going with your move, and are things lining up for you to be able to do this no problem, or how are things on your end?
So I had a couple of moving parts, right? I have, again, the expected arrival of my first grandson in March. So it was, that was a little tentative, but so far she's not in, my son's wife is not in labor, so that's a good thing. And yeah, so I have made the move over to Port St. Lucie, Florida. The car is going to be a week late because we had it shipped rather than driving. And then we use pods for moving, which is more economical, say, than using a national mover. And they informed my wife that was going to be like a week and a half late. So like we have basically no car, no belongings except what we had in our luggage. So I might just come like in a bathing suit, guys, which would be a scary thought,
Oh.
But all is good. All is good. You know how it goes with moves and unexpected things. You have to just go roll with the punches.
As long as you're throwing out the bathing suit thing, I was going to send an email to everybody, and I might as well. But the place we're staying does have a pool. It was going to cost about $500 to heat it. So, I didn't even offer that as a suggest as a as an alternative. Something for everybody to decide if they wanted to, because I just figured people that didn't want to wouldn't want to pay for it. So we have a pool that's not heated, but if anybody, I don't know how cold that's going to be, but it's there for anybody that wants to use it.
Gotcha.
And it's still getting pretty cold at nighttime there, wouldn't you think? You're probably getting down the 40s, 50s at nighttime, would you imagine there?
And like I'm more used to Tucson, which is a little colder at night. I mean, Tucson's still getting down into the 30s, mid to upper 30s at night. There can be 60, realistically, and I mean this, 60, 56 degree shift from what's going on in the daytime at the peak sun to what goes on at night at sunset. Phoenix a little bit less so. But yeah, you're gonna have some shifts. So bring a jacket or a sweatshirt for the night games.
Yeah, cool.
Now, Chuck, you have some exciting news, right? You're working in a new job. Congratulations. I hope that's working
Thank
well.
you. It's part awesome, part completely miserable. So that's kind of how that goes. You put your neck on the line, you go reaching for something higher, and you get all the stresses and pains associated with it. So it's good on the one hand. There's growth there and new experiences. And on the other hand, it's just like I miss sleeping well. This is, and I there was an extra 20 hours a week I think I used to have in my life that I don't have currently. But it's all good. It's fun. It's great. It's good stuff.
Meaning you're not commuting between LA and Sacramento now, or?
Less. Now I take a trip down there maybe once every month or two instead of
Oh,
every
okay.
other week. But weird thing, you have to pay to park in the building that we work in, which is counterintuitive, and they didn't tell me this until I got hired, and it's $150 a month. And I'm like, dang. I'm like, that's adds up. I'm like, that's almost 2 grand a year. I'm like, that's so long story
Yes.
short, I got the intel from the people inside, and there's a few cheapskates like me, and they're like, they take the bus into town. So I signed on to that. First, I took the light rail and I nearly lost my life, I think, a couple of times. But then I jumped over to the bus situation. But that's another 40 minutes each way baked into it. So long story short, I take the bus into downtown every day now. So it's pretty neat. It's an interesting experience. It's been neat experience.
Dave might would approve when he and
Oh,
I met up,
absolutely.
right? Dave and I met up in Phoenix last, actually, it was around April 7th. So we went to catch a Diamondbacks game, and he had picked me up. Then he was driving. He goes, "Ken, I hope you don't mind." He goes, "I am not paying for parking." He said, "I'm going to find a spot." He said, "I don't care where we park, and I mean, I'm stretching it a little bit," but he said, "We're not paying." I said, "Whatever you want to do, Dave." He was a
Love
driver.
it. Love it.
So.
Bill's that way too. Like he goes to the Angel games and he'd sooner get there an hour early than pay the $12 or whatever it is, which is cool. You're at the ballpark and that's his thing, but he's super diehard that way too. Like he refuses to hand over the money to park somewhere, which, very funny. Ken, question for you is how did you feel winter meetings went? We just got what, maybe last 2 weeks ago, was that about when winter meetings was? How'd you feel like that event went? I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I know. I thought it went really well. And I want to thank everyone that participated and everyone that attended. I know it's a busy time of year. People take time out of their schedules. I thought it went well, and I thought and I've sent out the survey, and now I'm starting to get additional feedback, which is great. I'm still waiting on, I still have probably around seven, six or seven who I haven't heard from, but I'll probably send it out one more time. But I thought it went well, but more importantly, how did you guys think it went?
I enjoyed it. I don't think there was anything super new or super different from what it's been in the past. But we've kind of had a formula that basically worked. So why mess with it a whole lot? I liked your new segment this year with the two lies and or two truths and a lie. I enjoyed that.
That ended up
Cool.
producing quite the nugget. I mean, who knew Jeremy was in like a band that was Grammy Award winning or whatever? Like, I listened to the album. I didn't listen to the whole album, but I listened to some. It's good. Like, the whole thing is, I thought I enjoyed it. I'm like, that is so cool. Like, what a neat thing to find out and, to hear. And it's just like, who knew? You wouldn't have known had we not done, had that come up in the winter meeting. That is so cool. Yeah. And it's on Spotify. I think the name of the band was Sweet Salt. I just popped in the name of the band. It's just like boom, you listen to the album, it's just right there. It was good. That was awesome.
Have to make that walk listening music one day.
Right? There you go. But Ken, I enjoy the band. I always enjoy the event. It's I think it was a weeknight, wasn't it, that we did it? Because I feel like I was torn between my kid in the
Thursday.
other room and whatever else, but so there's that whole thing, but that is what it is. But I was thinking that we could spicing it up a bit with a wheel of death where everybody lists their players 1 to 20 and we spin a wheel and whatever number comes up, and if that player is your number, they're released from your team. I'm like, that'll get people's attention.
That is cool. I love it.
Yeah, not really. I was just thinking of goofy things on the drive home. I'm like, oh, that'd be funny. Funny, not funny until you lose. You're the guy that loses Albert Pujols or something. You're like, okay, that was fun. It's fun for everybody else except for you.
Number one comes up.
Yeah, number one comes up, everybody loses, which could be interesting because it's evenly applied. But yeah. But yeah, good stuff, Ken. On behalf of everybody in the league, everybody appreciates your efforts, and I think everybody enjoys the event, and it's a fun thing to look forward to every year. Which brings us to our next big PGB event, which is the centerpiece, the big one, the annual draft. Are you guys ready? Jeff, I know you've been really deliberating over all of your choices here. How are
Oh,
you doing
I'm
with
ready. I'm chomping at the bit.
it?
I'll have my first pick on, I don't know, like 2 weeks from Sunday or something like that.
I thought your first pick was in 2027.
Well, might as well be. Whoever I pick probably not playing until 2027, or hopefully still around in 2027.
What did we end up with schedule wise? I think we're doing like we start Friday. We're doing a couple rounds before GoCon. Are we doing picks during GoCon or what? How did that end up shaking out?
I think
I
it's
didn't follow.
Friday, Sunday, or Monday. I can look it up here. And then for the first two rounds, and then round three, or first three are before we go. Maybe like Friday, Monday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday. And then round three is Friday night when we're there, and or Thursday night, and then Saturday night is round five, and then the abbreviated six. That only has about half of the people drafting due to usage penalties. And then when we get back home, I will finally have a pick in round seven.
And don't be jealous, Jeff, but I'm looking here and Chuck has six picks in the draft, and he has a lot of early picks. And Homestead has seven picks. I'm just looking at the top. Casper has six picks. And Thunder Bay four and Berlin four. So, I mean, those are basically the, and oh, and Norbonne five. So, those are the teams that have the majority of those picks, and a lot of them are picking early while we're just, our mouth is watering and wishing we can get in those early rounds.
Is your mouth watering in this one, Ken? Do you feel like there's top tier select you like I think the very high, I mean, who wouldn't want Kurtz? Who wouldn't want that massive card? But I mean, do you think what's your kind of impression of the first round, generally speaking?
That's a great question. For me, I see two or three people where I would be like, wow, I think Roman Anthony and, as you said, Kurtz. I mean, I think those two just stand right out. But I think that there's, and so it's not as in quotes sexy in terms of, oh my God, there's like seven or eight, people that you think can't miss. And we all know every draft we go through this, and some of the guys we think are going to be outstanding on, but this isn't the draft where you have what was it, Gunnar Henderson and who was it that, yeah, the shortstops. Chuck, you drafted the Kansas City
Oh, I took
shortstop
Bobby Witt and Boomer took
Bob
Gerardy
Witt.
Peña and yeah.
It's not one of those. So I think that you had some really high talent, but at the same time, I think some of these middle, if you will, middle range guys that, like, for me, they aren't the sexy guys. I think that they could be, they could surprise, and so, you got guys like Yourcevich, Schittler, Colton Montgomerie. Those guys, I think, could have an interesting long career. They're just not, standouts right now, like Kurtz or Roman Anthony. So that's the way I see it, but there might be, I think there's some depth. What are your thoughts, you guys?
Well, I guess I tend to agree with you. At the same time, I can't say with absolute certainty because, being that I'm not picking till seventh round, I mean, I've done absolutely zero prep on this. And I know the names that are at the top of the going to be at the top of the draft. And beyond that, I mean, I'm not even like trying to even hazard a guess of what's going to be available at 100, pick 120 or whatever I'm at. So, but yeah, I don't think just in looking at those top guys, I don't think this one's quite as deep, even as maybe even as last year. But yeah, I mean, there's always stuff that's top heavy at the, that is going to be there for those top picks. That's going to be helpful.
And Chuck, not asking you to let us into your war room, but just in general, general speaking, how are you thinking of this for in terms of your team? Again, I don't need to hear, specific names, but what are your thoughts on the depth in the draft pool and so forth?
I don't know if I'm my if I'm not as perceptive. Let me say it differently. I feel like you said that there's Kurtz Anthony. To me, that's pretty for sure 1-2, 1-2-3, somewhere in there. It's like, to me, I think they're so. But then I kind of feel like after that, like 3 through 15, 4 through 15, I think you can make a good case for taking anybody in there. I think the guys that have the at bats obviously have more current value, and they slot higher. But I think somebody could get somebody good at 10, 11, 12. Like me and Boomer, I don't think he minds me saying. We talked about moving picks, and I think me and Russ did a deal where he moved up, I moved back. Because I look at it like, I think Russ looks like at it like, hey, there's a guy I really want to get. But for me, I can't differentiate enough between the guys where I feel like they're all pretty good, not great guys. There's a bunch of pretty good, not great guys there. So I look at it like pick 4, 5, 6 is, aside from at bat and innings, they're all kind of, it's the same as pick 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Really, I think a few years from now, when you shake it out, it's, I think there's the same chance that any of those guys are good that aren't. Yeah, that's kind of my honest take on it. I think in other years I'd be like, oh my God, I'd like to move up here, or I think I'll get this guy here. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't really see a great difference between them. And I don't know if it's me that I haven't really watched closely enough, or if it's best the way it is, or so I don't know.
Gotcha,
You say the
Alice.
Anthony trade, did that just recently come down or?
Dave actually texted me about it today, so I'm not sure if it posted or not, or maybe Dave
Yeah.
hasn't allowed the trading of futures yet, so maybe that's why it
Oh,
hasn't posted.
yeah, if that's
Because
what it is, then that would be why. Yeah.
the deal, I don't think he'd mind me saying, but the deal is Russ is like Russ will trade his future or whatever to move up in this one. And it was just kind of one of those deals. So Russ and I switched picks 6 and 8 or something like that. So he's got 6 now and I've got 8. But again, I think just talking about that deal, I think he felt like there was a guy that he wanted to bump up to get, and I feel like, eh, I need everything. Like my team's got it, needs everything. So it's, doesn't really make a huge difference to me.
And speaking of that, Chuck, do you find those drafts more fun, or do you find when you're a very serious contender and you just need a piece or a piece and a half, if you will? I mean, not to be silly, but that and you're trying to find that last, piece to get you over the top. What's more fun for you? Where you are now, or standing at the top and trying to get over the hump, to the championship.
I'm not sure if this is the answer to that question, but like when you just have Kurtz dropped in your lap, it's like, okay. I mean, he's just there. I mean, there's really no other pick to make. To me, there's no challenge in that, which is fine. I mean, I'd love to have the first pick. Okay. But to me, what's fun is agonizing over there's the three guys. And, one of them could really benefit you, and one of them could just burn your behind. Like Boomer always talks about. Freeman or Hosmer, Freeman or Hosmer, Freeman or Hosmer. At the time, you can't know. There's no way to know. Nobody knew, but it has such a massive impact on your trajectory going forward. And so, like, as time's gone on, like, I really like to, not perseverate, what's but I really just like to really let it sink in deep and really try to hone in and get and have a good feel. And find that right guy. And I feel like if you really, really think about it, you can kind of get closer. I haven't done that type of a deep dive on it lately, but I enjoy that. I guess long story short is I really enjoy that. And I still get burned. You still get burned. You can't, nobody knows, but
I think that I definitely enjoyed that type of draft much better. Like, say, for example, last season when I was coming off of, a terrible year and I had, what, four picks in the first round. And as we kind of stated earlier, last year's draft wasn't super deep. So, I ended up, well, I took, Holiday first and Pepiot third. And then the later picks that I got, I ended up taking just Colby Mayo and Connor Norby, and not much value at all for next for last year, although they did both help me. I guess I'd much rather be kind of speculating and on guys like that, as opposed to you hate. I've always kind of hated in the past when you are a good team and you just have a couple holes to fill, and invariably one of those holes is your bullpen, and it's just a killer when that's really all you have to have is, when do I start drafting those guys? Do I need, because you'd rather wait till like the fourth or fifth round at the absolute earliest. But at the same time, if there's a stud out there for the pen that could really help you when you're already a contender, it's hard to let those guys pass. And at what point do you jump on them? And, but I don't know. I just don't feel like that's as much fun as drafting those guys and hoping they turn into something.
I remember a draft a long time ago, 20 years ago, something probably. I took Bobby Oury. I don't know if you remember him, backwards righty pitcher back in the day. And I passed up on Hanley Ramirez at the time because I'm like, Hanley's got no glove, and a shortstop, you got to have a glove. And I needed a bullpen guy. And that's the exact situation you're talking about. I just needed a bullpen arm. I'm not going to take the stab at that guy. And oh, can you get so burned on that? You can get so burned so badly on that. Bobby Oury's gone the next year. Hanley is, 50 wins above replacement, whatever. And yeah, it's just great. Those decisions are hard, but yeah.
I remember years ago, it was before this league even. It was back when we started our face-to-face league, and it was a draft. And I had a fairly early pick, and I was a pretty good team, so I was drafting later, but like late first round. And I don't know if you even remember the guy, but Bob James, he was a reliever for the White Sox, and he was coming off like it was almost a perfect card. And I mean, I took it in the first round, and I'm just like, look, you just look back at stuff like that, and I just would never do that ever in a million years again.
You know what's crazy though? Like, you remember that big Cincinnati draft we had when Aroldis was there, and that was the big topic in that one GoCon, is where does Aroldis go? Does he go early? Does he go late? And lo and behold, Dave was licking his chops the whole time to get him, but didn't reveal that to anybody, which is kind of interesting because he failed it. I think I joked that I would take him, and Dave got in front of me in the draft and ended up taking him. And Aroldis has had a great career. I mean, he's put out like 15 closer cards. I mean, it's funny. So it can work out. I mean, it can work out in certain instances, but yeah, by and large, the relievers are, dicey.
So, I brought up at the winter meeting, and I don't know if it's just me, but it looks to me like there's been a swing, and that we have more GMs in the last few years taking chances on pitching early, because I think everyone looks at pitchers as a risk, right? I mean, particularly, with the whole focus on how fast and how hot can they throw, and then they go for their Tommy John, and they're going to be out a year and a half. So there's a lot of, and but it's really shocked me in the last couple 3 years how, and for me, I've always done that, and you saw my success. Half my guys have gone to Tommy John, so it didn't pay off for me. But with that said, it just seems like more teams are going for these pitches earlier than in the past. Is that a delusion on my part, or do you guys see that same thing?
I don't recall the exact number. I mean, I suppose I could look it up, but I think last year was pretty close to like a 50-50, wasn't
Yeah, it was like, I think if I remember, 13 pitches in the first round.
something like that,
But, and looking over the first 2 rounds, it was like it was pretty high.
yeah. Yep. I know the rule five. We talked about this before. People are definitely taking stabs on the comeback cards, the Shane Biebers, the Kyle Bradishes. I think we mentioned that before.
It was
I
10
almost
out of
look at it.
18 last year.
Yeah,
It was
because
10 out
I
of
was just going
18
to say,
last year were pitchers.
yeah.
Wow. Like, who was the first pitcher taken, Jeff? Can you see it in front of you? Who was the earliest
I,
one to
I, I
go?
took I took Pepiot third.
Good pick.
And then you took Kumar Rocker Fifth.
I don't remember that. Are you sure you've got that correct?
Well, that's what it says right
Well,
here.
hey there, to your point, Ken, to your point,
Yeah,
boom bust,
yeah.
baby.
Eight
Yeah.
Jason was seventh. So yeah, there was a lot of speculation on pitchers last year. Caden Dana, Simeon Wood-Richardson,
Yeah.
Spencer Arrighetti, Jonathan Cannon, David Festa, Cade Smith. He had a solid guard, and then Slayton had a solid guard, and Will Warren, another, projection. So yeah, it was
Great
about,
pick.
yeah, a lot of projection though.
Yeah. A lot of bloodshed there. Yeah, that's a rough list. There's a lot of pain there.
So I'm thinking, is that are people taking chances, more chances now because there are less pitchers and there's really no one pitching over 200 innings so that they know that there's a limited pool of innings. So I've got to grab the innings more than the, taking a chance on pitching. They're saying I need the guys out there. I need some arms to give me the innings so I can, for usage purposes. Or do you think that's a, part of
Yeah,
it, part of
you as a survival strategy, you have to be proactive now
Yeah.
because they drop off at such rates that if you lose three-fifths of your rotation, you're toast.
But at the
I mean,
same
I'm
time,
just thinking out loud. I'm yeah.
sure. I was just saying, at the same time, nobody wants to be in that position where you're drafting for need immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
If the guy is there that fits your need, great. But if it isn't, and you've only got 2.5 starters going into the year, well, and you're drafting 10th or whatever, you're probably going to be taking the most innings you can get and hoping that it's somebody serviceable. And
Yeah,
that's,
those aren't fun picks to me,
no, they're
but
not.
some right, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. You got to
Yeah.
get through the season. Unless you know
Yeah.
you're going to be terrible and you can just take what's left at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I always look at it too, like if you I always feel like you need an ace to win. Like my buddy Bill would always say, you need an ace to win. You need an ace to win in the playoffs. You need a couple aces to win. And there's no one that's going to give you one. I mean, I don't know, Jeff, you spent five picks for Zach Greinke the year or, whatever that crazy deal was, because I mean,
Yeah.
that's what you have to do. You've got to fork over a truckload to get the ace if you don't have them naturally yourself anyways. And
Yeah.
so
Well,
that's why I always look at it like, yeah.
look at last year when I traded Framber to Dave and I got two firsts and Jesus Luzardo for
Oh wow. I didn't realize
Yeah.
Luzardo was in that deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pricey. It's so much more cost effective to home grow them, even if you bust a few picks here and there. I don't know. I kind of look at it that way, even if you bust a few picks, but I don't know. There's a lot of guys that maybe are still pitching averse in our league and they've managed to survive and pull it off and, cobble together rotations each year. So it's, I don't know, it's the only way.
Yeah, I thought I had a really, really solid pitching staff last year, and I exited once again early in the playoffs, and it just got me thinking, like, what the heck? Really, I mean, I had I just had, I thought, three or four starters that could be number ones on many teams. And again, I'm not saying that just because of that bad experience that, pitching isn't key and you need a an ace, but the last 2 years that hasn't held up for me because I again I think I focused on pitching.
There's
And it could have been
always
just my managing,
there's settings and things you can do, but then there's also in the end with Strat, there's always the luck factor. I mean,
Yeah,
the rolls, the dice still have to roll.
you faced other teams that had good pitching too, It's just like they had great pitching. It's not that good pitching will win it for you, it's that you pretty much can't win it without it. You know what I mean? Because I mean you're
Good
facing other
point.
great rotations, and if you don't have the great rotation, you're already out of the mix,
Last season when I ran into I got through Dave in the first round, and then when I ran into Chad in the second round, I couldn't touch him. I mean,
Yeah.
again, I think there was some bad luck involved in that, but I mean, literally, I think out of the four games, I think I got shut out twice, and I think I scored like 5 runs in the four games.
Wow.
Something like that. It wasn't pretty.
Guys, continuing with the theme of Charles being a cheapskate, my Zoom account only allows 40 minutes of meeting time, so we're going to have to adjourn here pretty quickly here, about 30 seconds. Great seeing you both. Glad we're able to get together and at least get some amount of material down. And very excited to see everybody next week and do GoCon, and maybe we can catch up more then and keep the conversation going.
Sounds
Great,
good.
great. Yes.
All right, guys, take care. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.